Reading the crucifixion from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 26. As the soldiers led Jesus away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless, the childless woman, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us, fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place of the skull, Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one, let him save himself.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was written a notice above him which read, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him, 'Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God?' He said, 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.' It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.' When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and an upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had ever been set before. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. This cross, this crucifixion, demonstrates our sin. We too should call out like the man next to Jesus who said, "We are getting what we deserve, but he is not." And our hearts and souls should be changed in Christ Jesus' work on the cross. Good Friday, our service tonight is a simple service, a simple remembrance of Christ's crucifixion and what is yet to come. And when we turn to Romans 6, we see that as the Apostle Paul was writing that Roman church, it was as if the crucifixion had just taken place. And he writes these words beginning in Romans 6:1. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, not at all, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We have died to sin. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? To be baptized was to be immersed, to be associated with, to be joined in. The word baptism would be used if you had a white cloth and you sought to dye it a royal purple. You would immerse, baptize the cloth into that purple dye, and it would come up now purple and associated with that royalty. And it means we are to die to our old life, our old life of corruption and sin. We live in a world that thinks, I have no sin in me. I have no corruption. I am good enough. When we sing Amazing Grace, it uses the word, what a wretched person we are. And thus we are called to die to our sins and choose Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." The death of our self, of our own wants and our own desires, a death to realize that our life is corrupted and full of sin, may seem far-fetched, may seem almost too great of a price. Must I really give up the life I have chosen? Must I really give up and make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? And yet what we will find in eternity is that it was nothing to give up our life for the glory that is set before us in Christ Jesus. It was nothing to be baptized into his death and buried with him for the glory that awaits us. In verse 5, "For if we are united with him in a death like his, we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with," no longer ruled by sin, "that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." You see, we even know in our life we have a will, because when we know when we die, all our obligations are gone. Our money is no longer ours. Our debts are no longer ours. If we are married, our spouse is no longer married, and they're free to marry again. Death ends things. death ends sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, if we're willing to die with Christ, we believe then we will also live with Christ. Are we willing to die to ourselves, to set our own wants and desires down for what Christ would have for us? It is difficult to say what that might mean. It would change the trajectory of our life. I've often shared here in the congregation that I remember as a young man in a church in Minneapolis in April, maybe March, praying in the night of a church service when we were praying up at the altar, and I prayed that prayer, "Lord, I'll go anywhere." I had, you might say, proud words, "Lord, I'll go anywhere." I said, "I'll die to my own desires." See, I had hopes of maybe going to the great Northwest, mountains, the ocean. And by July, I was in Amarillo, which is known for its two seasons of brown and browner. A dry, windy, flat, arid plains. No mountains, no Seattles, no skiing. And yet what might have seemed like a great sacrifice was the beginning of me meeting my wife and my children and ministry. Yes, when I prayed those words, maybe I was a little proud and a little too much of myself. But the Lord took those words to heart, and I truly had to die to myself. But death is not the end. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. There's many things I can't understand or grasp. The Missio Dei, Latin for the mission of God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And they sent as their mission God incarnate, Jesus Christ. We can't comprehend that. And not only that, that he is willing to die because death is a result of sin. And so there's no hope because we can never be good enough to overcome our sin, our wretched condition, our depravity. But Christ was willing to die to cover that for all of us. The death he died to sin once for all. Something has to die for there to be life again. And Christ took that upon himself. The word vicarious, he took it upon himself instead of us. He bore our sin. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, because of this, for this reason, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. We will still be tempted. I wish I could say it's easy street from here, but it's more of a roller coaster ride. This whole Romans 6 speaks of a double meaning, a double entendre, to be dead in Christ, and yet we are really to die. And yet we are metaphorically baptized into his death. And he talks about metaphorically being raised with him, but it will be real, and there will be a true resurrection. Not called to perfection until then. If only that were true. We will still mess up and sin. But in this death to sin, we are called to be mature, to repent continuously, to walk in grace and mercy, understanding that our salvation comes in Christ and Christ alone. And therefore, 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been bought from death to life. We have been given eternal life, and we are to live with that hope in us, and to offer every part of ourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. We walk in grace and mercy, living out what we believe. In that we believe this, we are called to put the old self behind us and live anew. As he started out in this chapter, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Because it would seem the more we sin, the more grace is revealed. And yeah, that's true, but he says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Not abusing it, this grace, because it truly sounds too good to be true, but not abusing it, but living in it. For sin shall no longer be our master. Verse 14. Because we're not under the law, but under grace. For sin shall no longer be called our master, because we are not under the law, but under grace. In Christ, even on this dark Friday, we are called to live with boldness in him, because we know what is to come. Tonight is a more solemn service, a shorter service, a simpler service, reflecting the crucifixion, his broken body, and his spilled blood. And yet we are to walk in grace out of tonight, reaching out to those, offering them the same hope, praying that they too will realize their deep need for Jesus Christ, and being that ambassador, that aroma for Christ, so that when they see us, when they hear us, it is as if Christ is preaching through us. Though crucified, Christ is not defeated. Sin is defeated. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, let us walk in your grace and mercy. Let us willfully give up our own will to be crucified with Christ, knowing then that we will live in Christ. Let us be your ambassadors of this crucifixion. Let us be the aroma of Christ, his broken body and his shed blood, offering salvation to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Like the man on the cross. And then Christ said, even at that last moment, today you will be with me in paradise. Let us bring that message of hope to a lost and dying world. Amen and amen.